Good evening. Please join me in the responsive reading of the call to worship found in the bulletin, taken from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us.
So that your grace may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations.
May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. Our Lord Jesus promised that where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of us. And so we know that he is here with us. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, greets us with his grace and peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to our evening worship at La Grave Christian Reformed Church. We welcome all those who are joining us online as well as all who are present physically. We come to enjoy God together, to worship and praise him, to bring to him our prayers and supplications, and to hear him speak to us through his word and by his spirit. Our reading this evening is from Isaiah 52, verses 7 to 10. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Let's turn to God in our evening time of prayer. Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, creator of heavens and earth, creator of all things visible and invisible, we come before your throne of grace this evening in the name of our Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to offer ourselves to you. You are the one who deserves all our praise and honor through our words and through our whole lives. And so as we embark on a new week, Lord, we pray that we may experience your presence, your power in our lives, O Lord God. We will face challenges this coming week. We pray that you will strengthen us for those challenges. We pray that whatever problems we face, that you will lead us to solutions. We pray that we might experience joy in doing our daily work, our various tasks, and relationships with people around us, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces and schools. Lord, that we may share your love with one another, and that we might be truly shining lights to people around us, O Lord. Lord, we pray that you will especially be with those that are struggling with difficult things in their lives at this time. Lord, especially those with difficult relationships, whether in marriage or family and wherever that may be, Lord, that you will bring healing in relationships and growth, O Lord God, accepting one another and relating to each other in peace and in goodwill, O Lord God. Lord, we want to pray especially for our missionaries in serving in various kinds of ministries in many parts of the world. We thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to support many missionaries around the world. We pray that you'll be with each one of them in their various work, those serving in orphanages, those in teaching and developing leaders, those in translation work, in campus ministries, O Lord, and various other kinds of ministries. Strengthen them in every way. Bless them with good health and vitality, O Lord God. We pray that you will give them wisdom for the strategies that will be fruitful and effective. We pray that you will help them in relating to one another and relating to the people among whom they work, O Lord God. We pray that you'll bless them with joy and fruitfulness in their ministries, O Lord. We want to pray today especially for Joshua and Virginia Hamm, working with Wycliffe Bible Translators in Cameroon, and as they have major responsibilities in translation work and training others in this kind of work, we pray that you will bless them and encourage them. We pray for the people being trained by them, that they will become very effective in their translation work. Bless their family life as well, their son Micah, and bless them with good health, strength and vitality in every way. Lord, we realize that around us there are many people who are harassed and helpless and struggle deeply with problems in their lives. We don't need to go far from our church to find people that are struggling in such ways. We pray for the organizations that minister to these people. We pray that they will be effective and used by you to reach out with your love and grace, and use our ministry, our LeGrave ministry outreach, O Lord, in our community for that purpose, and help each one of us to be aware of those around us who are struggling in life and need encouragement, who need a hand of help, who need friendship. O Lord God, use us in their lives too as your witnesses, as your servants, O Lord God. And so, Lord, may we be truly faithful as your people in this world, as your witnesses, O Lord, in our actions, in our words, in our whole lives, Lord God. We pray for unity among us as a congregation, and that you'll always guide our leaders, O Lord, especially our elders and deacons, as well as pastors and other leaders, Lord God, that you will guide them so that they might lead us faithfully in your paths. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We turn now to the scriptures and to our passage for this evening, Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38, found on page 1514 in our pew Bibles. It's a familiar passage. Some of you probably could recite it for memory. And it tells us a lot about Jesus in a few words and his ministry. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of the Lord. After the Protestant Reformation, one of the first Protestant groups to embark on foreign missions was a group called the Moravians. They started a tightly knit Christian community in Germany in about 1722. But within 5 years, their community was plagued with internal conflicts. But then a revival came 5 years later in May 1727. And then on August 27, that same year, 24 men and 24 women came together. They agreed to pray around the clock, 24/7, each of them taking an hour of prayer. And others joined them, and this prayer vigil continued. Guess how long it continued? You think it continued for a week, or a month, or a year? Anyone here know how long this prayer vigil lasted? A lot of years. 100 years. Can you imagine a prayer vigil lasting 100 years? Of course, it wasn't the same people continuously for those 100 years. Others had to take the place of some who could not continue. But it's amazing. It's perhaps the longest prayer vigil in Christian history. 100 years. And 6 months after it started, the leader of their community, a guy named Zinzendorf, he challenged the community to embark on overseas mission work. And the very next day, after he gave this challenge, 26 members of their community volunteered to go out wherever the Lord would lead them in mission work. By 1791, 65 years later, after this started, this Moravian community had sent 300 missionaries to the ends of the earth. They went all over. They went to the Caribbean, to South America, to the U.S., Canada, Alaska, Africa, and other nations. And they served effectively. Usually they were supporting themselves through common work in the societies where they lived, rather than depending on support from their people back home. They just worked right along with the ordinary people. They weren't really trained as theologians, but they served as evangelists. Now today, we would call that tent-making ministry or bivocational, when missionaries don't depend on support from back home, but by their own labors. And we tend to think it's rather novel today, but for these Moravian missionaries, this was the ordinary way they worked, just serving alongside of local people. So these people took Jesus' words very seriously, to pray for harvest workers. And God answered that prayer, those prayers, in a very powerful way, with a great mission movement. I also look back in our own lives for Bessie and myself. We were serving in Beijing, China, in 2011. We were actually in full-time language learning. But before long, the large church that we were a part of asked us to start a new small group Bible study and to lead that group, which we did. And before long, several new people came to Christ. They came to faith in Christ. And this group grew remarkably. And so these new believers needed to be baptized. So we started a class for preparation for baptism. And then they all needed discipling, and so we started a discipleship class. And then before long, I was asked to train other small group leaders, and that started happening about every 3 months. It was snowballing on us, and we hardly had enough time for our language learning. But we realized that this is exactly what Jesus had said. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Just a few days ago, we received an update from one of the missionary couples that we support, Jeff and Julie Bauman, serving in Hungary. And they were told, they told the story about how they heard of a young Iranian couple, a couple from Iran, who wanted to learn about Christianity. And so Jeff and Julie met with this couple who were both from a Muslim background, who said, "Can you tell us who Jesus is according to the Bible?" And so Jeff and Julie introduced them to Jesus. This couple started attending their church, and before long they identified as Christians, and just last Sunday they were baptized. They became part of the family of God. Now, we tend to think that people from Muslim background are not very open to the gospel. And it's not every day that we hear stories about them coming to faith in Christ. But these stories are becoming more common. The harvest is becoming more plentiful and more workers are needed. Let's try to get a broad picture of the world's situation today in terms of missions. About one-third of the world's population would identify as Christians. So that includes us, and it also includes many people who would call themselves Christians but maybe are not very active in following Jesus. That's about one-third of the world's population. Then about 42% of the world's population have opportunity to know about Jesus Christ. They may not be Christians, but they've heard about Jesus. There are churches around them. They have opportunities to hear the gospel, but have not accepted Jesus Christ. Now, the rest of the world's population, 26%, or about 2 billion people, virtually have no opportunity to hear the gospel. It's not just that they've heard it and rejected it, or even that they have opportunity to hear it. There's really not a chance for them to know about Jesus Christ. There aren't churches around. They don't know Christians who are following Jesus. And so these people are really out in the cold. No opportunity to know about salvation through Jesus Christ. And we call these unreached people. They live in what we call unreached people groups. And there are actually more unreached people groups or more unreached people today than there were a year ago. The number is growing, basically, because the population is increasing, and we're not catching up to that population growth by bringing people to Jesus Christ. You might ask, where are these unreached people in our world today? And they're scattered all over the world, but there are parts of the world where they are concentrated. If you can kind of visualize a world map, and starting from northwest Africa, and then going across northern Africa, then across to the Middle East, then to the South Asia continent and subcontinent, and out eastward to Southeast Asia. This is kind of a rectangle on the globe that we call the 1040 window, because it's from 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north latitude. And this is really where most of the unreached people live. It doesn't mean that everybody in this rectangle is an unreached person. It doesn't mean that all the unreached people live in this part of the world. It just gives us an idea of where the unreached people are concentrated and gives us an idea of where the greatest needs are. And so these billions of people, they don't know the good news, the great news of God's kingdom, that God the King came down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ and died on the cross to forgive their sins, that they could become his people and have eternal life. They don't know about this. And another way we can look at it is that God deserves the praise, the worship of all people all over the earth and every nation, as we read in Psalm 67 just a little bit earlier. God deserves the praise of all, but he's not getting it because many people don't even know about him. Now, since these are the most spiritually needy parts of the world, we might think, well, most of the missionaries are going there. But that's not true. Do you know that about 85% of Christian missionaries, and this is missionaries from all countries, North America, Europe, South America, the Philippines, Nigeria, and Korea, are all sending out missionaries. 85% of them are going to places where the gospel is already available, where there are already churches and people have opportunity to hear about Jesus. It's actually very few that are going to the unreached people groups. Now, there are some good reasons for that. It could be that in these relatively reached places, there's a real harvest going on and more workers are needed to gather in that harvest. But obviously, we need to get a lot more Christian workers to reach out to these unreached people groups. That's especially where the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Research has actually shown that people in unreached people groups are more responsive to the gospel than people that are not Christians yet but have opportunity to hear the gospel. And it's interesting also to notice that many of these unreached people are also among the most harassed and helpless people on earth. So let's take another look at our Bible passage that we just read. In the chapters before this, Jesus is doing some teaching, but mostly he's going around healing people and casting out demons. Now, verse 35 kind of summarizes his ministry. What he did, he was going around, he taught in their synagogues where people would go for religious teaching. He preached the good news of the kingdom of God, probably outside of the synagogues in other places. And what else did he do? Jesus healed people of every disease and sickness. That's what Jesus was doing. And then the passage notes, in addition to what he did, what he saw. He saw crowds of people who were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He took notice of these people. And then Matthew tells how Jesus felt, his emotional reaction. He had compassion on those crowds of harassed and helpless people. And then Jesus speaks to his disciples. First, he tells them his own conclusion about the situation. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then finally, Jesus gives a command. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, an interesting thing about Jesus' words here is the word that is used for send out. You know, Jesus said, pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out workers. It's not one of the usual words for send in the Greek language. It's the word ekbalo, which normally means to cast out, to throw out. And it's usually used for casting out demons. In fact, just before this passage, in verses 33 and 4, this word occurs, and it's about casting out demons. And then again in chapter 10, verses 1 and 8, the same word is used, ekbalo, again for casting out demons. It almost seems like Jesus is saying that the harvesters need to be urgently thrown out from their comfortable communities to go out and to bring in the harvest. There's a sense of urgency and force about the words that Jesus uses here. Some mission people recently have caught on to this and have actually put ekbalo in the name of their mission organization. If you will Google ekbalo, you'll come across some of these organizations. But so Jesus didn't tell his disciples here to go or to evangelize these harassed and helpless crowds. What did he tell them to do? He told them to pray. And that's where mission work always has to start. Whether it's close to home or far away, just like the Moravians, they spent a lot of time in 24/7 prayer before they started going out. And we might hear someone say, well, you've got to do more than just pray. And in a sense, that's true. But you can't do more than pray until you have prayed. You've got to pray first, and then you can start doing more than just prayer. Prayer has to come first. And through our prayer, God will light a fire under us and guide us to the next steps. Prayer does the heavy lifting. It's a slogan that we use in Coffee Break Bible Study Ministries. Prayer does the heavy lifting. And notice in our passage, that's exactly what happened. Right after the focus on prayer for harvest workers, Jesus appointed his disciples as harvest workers and sent them out. Prayer first and then outreach. And he sent them out to do exactly what our passage says that Jesus did. If you'll read the early verses of Matthew chapter 10, he sent them out to bring the gospel, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to heal people, and to cast out demons. So what does it mean for us today? Well, it's just as true now. So many people are harassed and helpless. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. We don't need to go far from our church. Go within 100 yards, and we encounter plenty of people who feel rather harassed and helpless. And in our own neighborhoods, how far do we have to go to find people that are struggling with issues in life, people that are stressed out, people that are really having a hard time, feeling dejected, physically and or mentally unwell? We don't have to go very far. We might be surprised at how much a few kind words, an offer of prayer, friendship, a warm meal will do to reach out to such people. But we need to start with prayer. As the minister of missions here at LaGrave Church, it's a challenge to me to consider how can we harness the prayer power of this congregation, and especially focused on missions. Would it be, you know, a regular prayer time where we gather for prayer for missions? Or a regular prayer guide that would be sent out to guide people in praying for missions? Or a prayer schedule, maybe not so much as the Moravians, 24/7, every day and every part of the, every day of the week and every hour, but at least a commitment to a significant time of prayer for our missionaries and our other mission causes? What would it be? I'm not sure, and I would invite you to give me your thoughts. How can we really be organized and faithful in prayer for missions? For now, I want to share with you about some of the harvest fields that some of the missionaries that we support are working on, and some other mission organizations. I thank God that we are part of a church that excels in sending and supporting missionaries, and some of them are working among unreached people groups. One country is Nepal. It's still a fairly unreached country, but it definitely is harvest time now in Nepal. We support three ministries in that country. One is with Arben and Bimala Pokharel, who are both Nepalese citizens. They came here to the U.S. to study, and then they went back to serve among their own people. Some of you met Arben and Bimala a few weeks ago at our mission celebration in the NPR. They have planted a church in Kathmandu, Nepal, which has grown to over 300 people. And then through Arben's leadership, they have planted 40 more churches in Nepal, which are growing and developing. Bimala works especially among harassed women, helping them develop livelihood products, projects, and lifting their dignity, helping them to experience the goodness of the Lord. So they are truly proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom in word and in deed. Another missionary that we support in Nepal is from the state of Mizoram in India, and his name is Lalura. He serves courageously by faith and boldly proclaiming the gospel in spite of opposition. We often receive news and photos that he sends about groups, new believers, groups of believers that are being baptized into the Christian faith. It's not uncommon for him to experience miracles and healings in his ministry. And through that ministry, over several decades, 184 churches have been planted with over 12,000 members and 53 pastors. It's really amazing. As we receive news about this ministry and what he is doing. And recently, we've helped him get connected with Arben's co-workers for leadership training so they can work together in training more leaders in Nepal. Now, this is in a land, Nepal, which is predominantly Hindu, and where laws prohibit outward evangelism. But praise God for the harvest, and more workers are needed in that harvest field. India is another country that is still very unreached. In fact, it's the country with the most unreached people groups. Just a few weeks ago, we had a visit here at LeGrave from the Mulhagans, who operate a wonderful orphanage in India, reaching harassed and helpless children who otherwise would have little hope for survival, let alone to be thriving. So these children are being discipled, are being cared for, they're being brought up in the Christian faith, and some of them could become harvest workers, reaching out to their fellow people in India someday. And we support another missionary couple in India who are discipling Christians and mentoring Christian leaders so that they will also become more effective in reaching others with the good news. Our church has also had connections with Mission India, which provides Christians in India with a year of training so that they can effectively plant churches. They're experiencing a significant harvest. Miraculous healing in response to prayer is a significant factor in their ministry for people putting their faith in Jesus Christ. We've learned about another mission organization that works only among unreached people groups, those that are part of that 26% of the world's population that have no opportunity to know about Christ. And they are seeing God do great things among these people. So they work with local partners to reach out to the distressed and helpless people with medical aid, with water projects, and with the message of salvation, using audio Bibles that run on solar power in the heart language of this people. And the Word of God is really being causing transformation in lives and in communities among these unreached people groups. So we can see that these ministry groups and organizations, these missionaries, are really following Jesus' example by bringing healing both through miraculous means and through medical aid. They're experiencing the proclamation of God's word in word and in action, and they are raising up more workers for the harvest. As we pray for God to send out more harvest workers, let's reflect a bit on the kinds of harvest workers that we should be praying for. We need mission workers who are prayerful, who are courageous, they're willing to sacrifice, they're humble, they're godly, they're compassionate, and they're able and willing to really work with people of other cultures. In a sense, people like those Moravian missionaries that we talked about earlier. So let's be praying that God will raise up and send out those kinds of workers, including right from among us here at LeGrave. Mission dynamics have changed a lot over the past few decades. In many countries, especially among these unreached people groups, Christians are not welcome, particularly Christian missionaries are not welcome. But often people who are well-trained in secular professions are needed in these countries. People like doctors and nurses, teachers, literacy workers, engineers, and high-tech people, they're needed. And so today when I hear about young people, especially that are interested in missions, I encourage them to develop a profession like that gives them marketable skills that can be used just about anywhere. And as they go out and serve in these places, they have opportunity to serve people in everyday ways and also build bridges for sharing the gospel with others. Another benefit of that is that their profession can help support them financially so that they will not be so dependent on donations from others. And as we are drawing toward a close of this message, I want to direct our thoughts closer to home. As I mentioned earlier, we don't have to go far to find people that are harassed and helpless and struggling in life. You know, sometimes we can be very skillful in arranging our lives so that we don't come in contact much with such people. Or we figure that it's somebody else's task to take care of them and to be concerned about them. It's a simple reality that these people are more open to the gospel than people who've got it all together. They're more responsive, more willing to hear the good news and respond. Again, we need to start with prayer, ask God to send harvest workers to them, and be open to God speaking to us and telling us that we are the harvest workers that He wants to go. And if that's how God speaks to us, work with other Christians and Christian organizations to truly reach out to them. And we don't actually have to go very far. We don't have to go necessarily to Africa, to the Middle East, or India to reach the unreached people. God is actually bringing them here to us. Immigrants and refugees are coming here to us. There are many people from the Middle East, for example, right here in the Grand Rapids area. And so now they are within reach. We could reach out to them. But how? How can we get to know them? Many of them are from Muslim background. You may see them in the grocery stores. Well, recently we learned about a wonderful Christian ministry right here in Grand Rapids, located on 29th Street. It's called the Friendship Center. It's a drop-in center, especially for people from Muslim background, and where Christians can meet them. We can help them learn English. We can serve them in other ways. We can build friendships with them. And through those friendships become bridges over which the gospel can flow, and we can reach out to them with God's grace. It's a powerful thing. In coming weeks, we'll be telling you more about the Friendship Center and how we could get involved in it. As we conclude, let's remember what Jesus did and what He calls us to do. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, God's kingship over all things. He wants us also to proclaim that in our words, our lives, our actions. Jesus took notice of the crowds of people. Do we have our eyes open to see people in that way, to see them as people that need the good news? Jesus had compassion on the harassed and helpless, the needy people. Pray that we would have that kind of compassion, that kind of care and concern for people around us. Jesus took note that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. May we become aware of the real situation in the world today, the real mission needs, and the need for more workers. So Jesus commanded His disciples to ask God, the Lord of the harvest, to send more workers into His harvest field. We need to be devoted to prayer, earnestly praying that this great need would be met, and be willing to be the answer to those prayers, just as the disciples were the answer to Jesus' prayers. And finally, Jesus sent them out to do just what He had been doing. We need to be willing to be sent out as well as send out others to bring the good news. Let's pray. Lord of harvest, send forth reapers. Hear us, Lord. To Thee we cry. Send them out. Send them now, the sheaves to gather, ere the harvest time pass by. Through Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen. I see that I skipped over some parts in our order of worship, so I would like to go back to that. If you have your bulletin here, missed over the confession of faith and the hymn after that. So I would still like to do that. I think this is a very meaningful portion from the Canons of Dort. Or did we read that? I think we did not. Okay, let's read that confession of faith, and then the song after that, we have heard the joyful sound. So I hope, Sarah, you won't mind that we go back to that hymn after the confession of faith. Let's read together the confession of faith taken from the Canons of Dort.
Moreover, it is the promise of the gospel that whoever believes in Christ crucified shall not perish but have eternal life. This promise, together with the command to repent and believe, ought to be announced and declared without differentiation or discrimination to all nations and people to whom God in his good pleasure sends the gospel.
God's parting blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. Go as Christ's witnesses in this world to serve God and to reach out to others with the good news. Amen.
Amen.